Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is We Have Communicators, episode 186, recorded on August 22nd, 2013. Enjoy! All right, it's time for We Have Communicators, the show that covers all things iOS and beyond. I'm Michael Johnston, and with me is Adam Christensen from the MacCast. Hey, Adam, how's it going?
Good. How you doing?
Pretty good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Hanging in there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Thursday.
Indeed it is. Jeff Gamet is also here from the Mac Observer. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I have podcasting juice in my hand and soon to be in my mouth.
Excellent.
What could possibly go wrong?
I like that. I like podcast juice.
Jeff's just podcasting constantly now, pretty much.
Yeah, you are, aren't you?
Pretty much. So much so that
you're
I
constantly
might as well be an alcoholic.
Yeah, you're constantly drunk now.
Good times.
Hey, if you can make money that way. Oh, wait, it's a podcast.
Wah, wah. Right. Hey, I get to drink podcasting juice, so there's that.
There's your payment right there. So, we've had good news from the, what do we call him, the Oracle or whatever, Jim Dalrymple.
Oh.
the man of Yep.
The beard.
The beard man. The man of Yep and Nope. So, we heard from All Things D. They said, hey, there's going to be an iPhone event on September 10th. And then he quickly followed up with his Yep, which essentially seals
which
the deal.
There is, it's more than essentially. It's if All Things D says there's an event and then Jim follows up with Yep, just plan your schedule around it because it's happening.
Yeah, buy your plane tickets, get ready.
Book your hotel.
Yeah, only if you're one of those people who usually gets invited, though. You're probably not going to be able to
get... Well, you can go anyway.
You can go anyway and, like, hang out outside.
Right.
You can just sit outside the Yerba Buena Center.
Yeah, you can
peering in.
Hey. Sell t-shirts to people walking by that say, I went to Apple's new iPhone event and all I got was this lousy t-shirt.
Like an orphan in a Dickens novel.
Yeah. Well, they could also put it, they might not even put it at the Yerba Buena Center. They could do it at the campus. Which in that case, you can go down to the campus and see that place.
Right. So, yeah. I mean, there's the Apple store. You could go buy a t-shirt or... Mm-hmm.
We were having a debate and we couldn't remember where they had it last year. If they had it at Yerba Buena, if they had it at the... Did they have it at... Well, they had one event at that theater that they used, right?
The town hall?
No. The actual... Like theater.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Is that the iPad mini?
I can't. We couldn't remember. See, no one can remember these things.
Because it just, yeah. Why would we
remember these? They all blend together.
Things?
They do. They all blur together.
Yeah. I'm trying to search the internet for that information. I don't know. Oh, yeah. It's at the California Theater, downtown San Jose.
That was the iPad mini?
iPad mini, yep.
Yeah, is that the same place they did the original like Rip Burn Mix iTunes event way, way, way back when?
Man,
that
I don't
cool
remember.
Looking theater with the red.
I know they did it. Wasn't that the place where they had Bono and the U2 iPod and the iMac?
Yeah, I don't even know.
Yeah, whatever. The iMac G5, I think, and Bono. Bono was
just gonna wait. We gotta just wait for the invitations to go out, which should be soon, right? Well, not soon, but soon-ish.
I think it's usually a week before.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So we're not going to see those happen till September.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's
because,
only
you know everyone has
week
so
and
much
a half
time.
Away.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, following up on our, I guess it was a pre-show Siri discussion because there were some swear words involved. So that implies to me that it was a pre-show discussion regarding Siri. We were talking about Siri, so you understand why there were swear words involved. Although
Siri,
we...
you ignorant slut.
Yes.
I was thinking, Siri, you're fracking beautiful.
Yeah, it's definitely a love-hate relationship with Siri. But so Piper sigh. Jaffray analyst Gene Munster, mm-hmm. Yes, sigh, says that he believes the iPhone 5C, the color version, the plastic version of the iPhone 5 that we will likely be seeing, will not have the fingerprint scanner, which we sort of assumed, but it will. Yeah. Also, he thinks it won't have Siri either.
Which means he's smoking crack.
He's smoking crack.
Like, of course it'll have Siri.
Yeah. That is such a selling feature for Apple over Android, and especially since all those Android phones have, you know, Google Now or whatever. What they call it? Google Now?
I think it is.
Their little Siri-style competitor or voice thing.
I was pretty surprised when I was at a friend's place and he has the GS4. Mm-hmm. And he's like, "Oh, where's this guy? I got to call him." And so he picks up his phone and he presses a button. He goes, "Google, call Nick." And I'm like, "Oh, you have to say Google? That's interesting. Kind of cool."
Yeah, isn't that awesome branding?
Yeah.
Genius. Oh, yeah.
It's evil genius. You have to say Google. And same thing to your Google glasses, I think. So
well, he says that there's
people running around in public, Google.
He says there's a difference, though, between just saying call this person and saying Google call this person, because I guess if you say call this person, it like searches for on the internet for that, as opposed to if you say Google, then it will call them, which definitely sounds backwards to me, and I might have it
wrong.
That's
really, really stupid.
It was definitely confusing to me when he told it to me. You know, this is a really, really good point to bring up my experience with the GS4 that I had.
It's a safe word, right? Google.
There you go.
Safe word is Google.
Yeah, it is a safe word. So I went into a Best Buy and I thought, hey, I'll check out these Samsung devices because I don't usually play with them. And I, of course, malign them regularly. And so
without using
as
them.
As one does.
Right. So I played with the GS4, as I thought with the GS3. I love the big screen, totally. I noticed there was a little screen burn-in, but I'm guessing that's because of the display model thing and the OLED screen. And I'm guessing that the burn-in doesn't happen hardly ever with people who use their phones normally as not a display model in a Best Buy. There were the features, the extra like hover your finger over things and tilting the phone to do things and using your eyeballs to do things totally threw me off. And I turned them all off. But the most interesting part to me was how surprising it was when I went to hit the go back button. You know how the go back button in an interface typically is in the upper left hand corner, and I was holding it with my right hand. And it was quite a stretch for me to do that. Now, if
you
can,
one-handed, you can't do it, right?
Correct. Well, you can do it, but it is a stretch.
Do a little phone shifting.
And I would honestly, if the iPhone 5 or the iPhone 6 was huge like that same size, I would not complain about it. It's not a big deal. And if I didn't, if I liked Android as much as I liked iOS, it wouldn't be a huge deal either. But the interesting thing to me, based on what I've seen in iOS 7, you know, all those swipey gestures to go back into pages. So you just go from any point on the left-hand side of the device on the edge and you swipe from left to right and you can go backwards.
Mm-hmm.
You can do that in Safari and preferences and a bunch of other places where it makes sense. I think in many interfaces like that, you just swipe from any point to go back. And based on that, plus all of what they're doing in iOS 7 with the dynamic typesetting and dynamic placement, the auto flow of layouts the technology they've had in there since iOS 6, actually, to you just say, hey, I want this thing to be at the bottom of the screen and I want it to be centered, or I want it to be on the right hand of the screen. I want it to be centered vertically and, you know, aligned to the right, that sort of stuff, the automatic layout stuff that, allows developers to make more, screen size agnostic interfaces really spoke to me at that moment. Because more and more I'm thinking, of course, Apple has to be working on a bigger sized iPhone. There are many people who don't want a bigger sized iPhone. We've seen that we did some informal polls with the listeners and so forth. Some people want a smaller phone. People some people want the iPhone 5 and some people want an even bigger phone. And I think that based on what Apple is doing with iOS 7 primarily really speaks to them preparing for a bigger device size, at least to me.
Yeah. You know, it's inevitable. It's an unavoidable conclusion.
Well, you know, frankly, I'm surprised that we're not going to be seeing it next month or this year. And it doesn't seem like we will.
No.
I wouldn't be entirely surprised if we saw it this year, but I'd be pretty surprised.
We'll see it in 2014.
Yeah. 2014 seems so far from now. But it is 2013, so I guess that's just next year.
Well, and it's not going to be big enough for people because they're not going to move into this 6-inch phone range.
We don't want crazy phone. I'm just saying, like GS4, GS3 size.
A lot of people
do, though.
I know a lot of people who love that size.
The phablets.
5.5, 5.7, 5.8,
yeah.
6.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I was talking with someone the other day that really wished the iPad Mini had a phone in it.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of that.
And
then you said Skype.
Yeah, get Skype. Then you have a phone.
Yeah, that's what I told them. Get Skype and have a Skype phone number. And and I held an iPad Mini up to my head and said, "Do you really want to look like this when you make phone calls?"
Yeah.
And they said, "Well, it doesn't matter. I don't have good eyes. I need the big screen so I can see stuff."
Yeah, they need the
this is where wearables comes in, right?
Or Bluetooth headsets.
Sure.
Because, yeah, you can have, well, Bluetooth headset or
I guess that is a
watch with a mic. Or I mean, I don't know what the options are. I mean, there's
shoe
things
phone.
That I don't think have been explored. But eventually it could be that you have your iPad Mini, which has the phone bits built into it, but you don't talk into it. You talk into some other thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. Well, if I was going to do some Skype calling on my iPad Mini, that's exactly what I would do. I would either use wired headphones, probably use a Bluetooth headset.
Right. But I'm thinking, you know, if we move in that direction where people want this sort of, if the Mini size sort of becomes this perfect size device, and for me, I can see that. I mean, it's great. It's great for reading books. It's great for lots of stuff. Easy to carry around. It's thin, it's small. You know, maybe it does supplant the phone when you move the phone into something even tinier that just hooks up to that thing that you're always carrying with you. So
yeah,
you're going to carry something a little bit larger with you, like a, you know, it's the size of pretty much a paperback. It's not that hard to carry around.
Well, it's going to be a niche thing. It's not going to be a mainstream thing because an iPad Mini barely fits in a purse, you know, a reasonable size purse. And there aren't that many dudes with purses. So you're kind of alienating like 50% of the population already with that, unless
right.
they want to get
true.
Their little
true.
iPad Mini purse, which I could totally see happening. But I think that the stuff
yeah,
that
too big for a pocket. I don't have pants that are with pockets big enough to hold an iPad Mini.
Exactly, you need something that'll fit in a pocket.
And to all of you that right now are thinking Jeff has pants,
right?
Well, I have a couple pairs for just in case.
Just in case when you need to go into public.
Well.
Or when your mother yells at you.
All right. I guess I should make a note. In public, I'm supposed to wear pants.
Usually.
Thanks
that's what that's
tip.
That's what the sign at the Starbucks says. Don't you make fun of and sketch out the people who come into Starbucks without pants?
I don't think the sign at Starbucks says that. It only says it's something about
it's
shoes
and
shirts.
Shirts and shoes. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And the one guy that came in wearing pants where the ass was completely torn out. Yes, I did make fun of him.
Okay.
But I mean, technically, I don't think there's any rule that just says you have to wear pants.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I don't pay too close attention to those signs, I guess.
Clearly, neither do I.
Yeah.
Digress. Or exactly enough.
Well, we're talking attention. About phones, big phones.
Yeah. So the iPhone 5S. We've been seeing some interesting part leaks.
Gold,
yes. Or champagne, the champagne-colored iPhone.
Champagne.
Yes.
Champagne wishes, iPhone dreams.
Mm-hmm. Don't know
oh,
what you're talking
clever.
About.
Oh, that's clever.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we've been seeing some gold-colored, as we've seen, the black, we're referring to the metallic portion. Of the iPhone 5, without the two spots at the top and the bottom, we've been seeing golden versions of that that say iPhone have the Apple logo. We even saw some, I think, that didn't have any branding on the back, but it's certainly, we've been seeing enough parts that it seems like this is going to be a thing.
Yes. I mean, too many analysts are quoting it. Too many people are.
The pictures are too good.
Images. Yeah. Part leaks. Yeah. We saw, I mean, so, how long ago did we see those part leaks? And as far as the champagne color goes, those original ones, that's the color that it looked like. The thing that threw me off was for a long time, we kept seeing people doing renderings of like a, you know, 24 karat gold color gold iPhone, which to me just looked gaudy and ugly.
Yeah, definitely.
This other color, this champagne-ish color, isn't too bad. I wouldn't get one, but...
No. There are certainly people who would.
You think so?
I look at it and I'm like, no, I don't like this. But I'm not the demographic.
What is the demographic? That's what I can't figure out. Does it appeal to women, businessmen, to...
I think in the United States, it will appeal to younger buyers, and it will appeal...
Gangstas? Playas? I'm sorry.
Playas.
I'm very
playas.
Yeah, I think there'll be a lot of women that will like it.
Yeah.
And there'll be a subset of men that will like it. Outside the United States, I think it has a higher likelihood of being a big hit.
Yeah.
So, you know, really this may be the international iPhone.
Well, that's the debate. I saw somebody wrote an article today saying that this idea that it's for China, you know, that China likes the gold color, and it might have been Mark Grumman over at, is he 9to5? Is that his name? Grumman? Mark?
Don't know.
Probably mutilating the guy's name. Sorry,
yeah, whatever.
Mark. I'm pretending like he listens to this show.
He does.
But I think he compared
he
it
did
to...
Until right now.
car colors in China and sort of what the popular colors were, and like gold and yellow were all that popular. But I had heard specifically from one of my listeners who's in Taiwan, who seems to feel, you know, not that that's concrete evidence, but seems to feel that the gold color things, those sort of gaudier devices, are very popular over there.
Huh.
So I don't know if that just goes from what he, you know, when he's out and about looking in shops at cases, and that's what it seemed like, is, you know, just looking at the kinds of cases and accessories and things that they buy, that they kind of, you know, bling out and gaudify their phone. Is that a word, gaudify?
It is now.
It is now.
Make it gaudy.
Mm-hmm.
They gaudulate their phone.
There you go.
They gaudulate. I like that. Their phones. Yeah. So I don't know. I think, did I throw out on here? I was telling someone, I can't remember if it was last time here or not, but, you know, maybe Dubai.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. I think parts of Europe will have a higher likelihood of just loving the gold iPhone.
Yeah, but I think they're going to call it champagne.
Those will be all over rap videos too, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Throw some dubs on that iPhone.
I'm thinking gold iPhone with a diamond bumper.
Yes.
I think I need another drink.
I think I need that iPhone. Okay. So, yeah, it's going to be called Champagne, probably. Champagne. And, I mean, they can't call it gold because it's not going to be gold. Now, the intriguing thing to me is there's also been rumors of 128 gigabyte iPhone, and that certainly sounds like something that will happen.
How expensive is that going to be?
I don't know.
Are we going to have the first... over $1,000 iPhone?
I hope not. I don't think Apple would do that. That's kind of sounds...
I'm talking unsubsidized pricing, right?
What's
the top of line unsubsidized pricing now? Like $830, $850, $950? I mean, it's close to that, isn't it?
I think it's $850.
Yeah, it's $850.
So could it be $950 for a 128? Or you think it's going
to... I would imagine
they're just going to shift everything up and...
I would imagine $950, and I would also not be surprised if they stuck with 16 gigabytes on the iPhone 5C, and then the iPhone 5S was, the baseline was 32 gigs.
Yeah.
Because I don't know about you guys, but I'm on a 64 gig iPhone, and that's where I'm comfy. I was at the 32 for a while. But I think that people's demands on storage have certainly increased on mobile devices over the years. And I think that would make sense.
Well, yeah. And if they do, yeah. If they do have a 128 iPhone, I mean that's pretty much the end of the iPod Classic, right?
Yeah. Well, do they not have an 128 gig iPod Touch?
Do they now?
I don't know.
I can't remember. I know they have an iPad. Can't.
They do have a 128 gig iPad, yeah.
I never looked at the iPod Touch because I have an iPhone. 64 gig. Yeah, so if that makes its way to the iPod Touch as an option, then that's it. I mean, the Classic's done, right?
Certainly. iPod Classic.
I think it still chimes in at 160, right? Or yeah, is it 120?
So 160, so it wouldn't be the end of it. Come on, get the iPod Classic. You know you want it. It's got color. You can see album art on it. You got a click wheel. Click wheel.
And a hard drive.
Yeah, I got that spinny hard drive. You can hear it whirring in there. Yeah.
I love the iPod Classic, but I do think once we get to one, and that was sort of the tipping point, is once we have a 128 iPod or iPhone, it pretty much can replace, I think, at that point.
Yeah, we'll see.
I mean, not for everybody. I'm sure there's people are going to write us now and say, there's no way I need a full 160 just for music. But, I mean, you couple that with, frankly, you know, Michael, you bring up a good point, because I purchased a bigger and bigger iPhone, but probably this with the 5S, I might go smaller. I might go back to 32.
Interesting.
Mainly because of iTunes Match.
Yeah, well, iTunes Match certainly helps out with that stuff. And I heavily use iTunes Match and definitely rely on it. But at the same time, if I hop on a plane or I'm in a poor service area, I still want my music available to me. And I appreciate the fact that it does cache that music for me when I play it. So if it's something that I regularly listen to, Right. Then it will already be there. And I mean, I'm looking at the amount of space I have on my iPhone right now. It's kind of surprising that I only have 6 gigs available. That's a little surprising. I figured I would have like 10 or 12, something like that.
To look at mine, I think I have plenty available. Where I run out of space more is on my iPad mini, because I only got the 16 gig model, and that was a mistake, because that's my preferred device to watch movies on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I can't get enough high definition movies stored on there. I'm constantly having to juggle those, which isn't a huge deal, but I mean, it is a little less convenient.
You should use Air Video, dude.
Well, I mean, I stream from iTunes when I'm at home, but like if I want to go somewhere,
and you're not connected,
I've got to sort of decide I want these three, you know, if I'm going on vacation or something, I got to kind of pick the three movies that I'm going to be able to fit on there or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, if you don't have a connection. So that's kind of a bummer. Yeah, you have to worry about that. Kind of the same reason why I went for the 32 with my iPad 4 that I also deleted, yeah. Sent back. I sent my iPad 4 back.
It's also typically not a problem once I get where I'm going, because I'm probably going to have Wi-Fi, so I can delete something I've watched and re-download something different. It's only in that, you know, when you're flying or traveling, when you're not going to have access to Wi-Fi. So
mm-hmm.
not a huge problem. I mean, but it is less convenient.
Yep. So let me see where we're at. Oh, this is an interesting rumor. Let's see where this came from. KGI Securities predicts that the iPhone 5C will actually be replacing the iPhone 5 in Apple's lineup.
This one just doesn't make any sense to me. It really doesn't.
Yeah, it's an interesting rumor. They also imply, they actually say that they will retain the 4S.
Yeah, just again,
that doesn't make sense.
See, right, no. What we're expecting is the iPhone 5C to be
the mid-range one.
The mid-range,
so it will replace the current 4S.
And so then the 5 will be
the 4.
The 5 will be the quote-unquote inexpensive iPhone.
Yeah, probably a 16-gig iPhone 5 model for $99 or free. It's $199 now, so it could easily drop down to $99 and become the free, you know, free phone.
You know, the 4S sticking around makes no sense to me at all. And that's, if nothing else, look at the screen size. Apple has been working really hard to get their handheld mobile device lineup all on the same screen.
More than the screen size, the connector. They want to kill the 30-pin, right?
Yep.
Right.
That they want that gone, obliterated, no more 30-pin stuff. So those two things alone say to me that, I mean, I can't think of any other reason why not to do that with the 5, unless maybe he thinks that the 5 spec-wise is too close to the 5C.
Yeah, that
would
make
sense.
And it
would hurt 5C sales.
Yeah, well, okay, that's a possibility. I mean, if the specs are like almost exactly the same, and the big difference is you get glass and metal for the whole body, or glass and a colored plastic back.
Yeah. Well, Yeah, I mean that's the one thing when I was thinking about this story, I'm like, why would they do that? They want the standard screen size and everything being a Lightning connector. Unless they're going to retool the 5S and put a or the 4S and make a 4S Lightning connector version.
I can see that happening. Maybe.
They could. I mean, it can't be that tricky. But that would just be weird.
Just hot glue it in.
But again, I think they want to standardize the screen size too. Because yeah. It just makes everything so much easier. And it makes it easier when they want to transition next year to have a new larger screen. Because that way then they never have more than 2 screen size devices out at a time. You know, they're not going to have a bunch of different
they're not
going to
go
like
Samsung
Android.
On the screens.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I don't know. This one just seemed really weird to me.
Yeah, it is interesting.
It could happen, and if it does, the only rationale I can see for it is that the 5 is too close to the 5C and they don't want it cannibalizing sales, because I think if you had those both there and specs internally were exactly the same like I think they will be, then why would you even opt for a 5C when you can get the 5 for cheaper and it's got a metal and glass enclosure versus a plastic and glass one?
The only reason I could see someone doing that is because they want the colored back.
Yeah, and that makes no sense. So he's probably right. Sounds weird. As weird as it sounds, he might be right.
Yeah. Okay. So... according to 9to5 Max, Mark Gurman,
that's the guy.
There you go. He believes that the iPhone 5S, the home button for the fingerprint scanner mm-hmm. deal on there, there were some reports that it would be a convex shape. And
that was Ming Chai again drinking crazy juice.
Yeah, crazy juice. And
it is not going to be convex.
No. Yes. Yeah. Mark Gurman thinks that it's going to be nearly identical, almost imperceptibly the same. And
yep, it has to be. It's too iconic for Apple's brand image at this point.
Yeah, he doesn't think it's going to look any different. He said there might possibly be some sort of outline or extra shininess to it, but other than that,
no
difference.
No.
So zero difference, Jeff.
Zero difference.
Okay. You hear it from Jeff right now.
Yeah, I think you might be able to tell, but the report
you
I
definitely
read
will be able to tell.
Like to an untrained eye, you know, the average consumer is not going to really notice.
Not one of the iPhone nerds like us.
Yeah, we will be able to tell.
Hey, it's an iPhone S. That's how we say it. That's how we identify it. But
it's like a secret handshake.
Secret nerd. Telegraphing handshake. So, but the other interesting bit of information he had was that iOS for iPad, iOS 7 for iPad will debut later than iOS 7 for iPhone. It will be debuting alongside the new hardware, which seems to be...
Does he say why, though?
Is this the show where I just keep saying no?
I think he said yes. What's
the reason why? I mean, I hadn't had a chance to dig in this story yet.
It doesn't make sense.
What's the rationale?
Well, because the rationale is that the iPad version of iOS 7 came out several weeks later than the iPhone version. There are numerous reports of it being buggier than the iPhone version, and that it would make a lot more sense to release, if assuming that the new iPads, the iPad mini with Retina and the iPad 5, aren't going to make it out until later in September or early in October. And it does, it certainly makes sense that we would see a little bit of stagnation to have the iOS line up with the actual hardware.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, it's it's not something Apple's ever done before. I don't,
are you
I don't
sure?
put it out
I
of the realm of possibility.
It's not going to happen.
I think they've
iOS 7 will ship for all compatible iOS devices on the same day.
Okay. All right. Jeff, if you're right, you get a cookie.
Hooray!
Okay, so moving on, the as we said, according to Bloomberg, they're thinking that we won't be seeing the iPad 5 and the Retina iPad mini until, quote, the last 3 months of the year, which sounds kind of bleak because the last 3 months include like November and December.
Well, those could be fun months too.
They could be, but I mean, I returned my iPad 4 thinking, oh, I'm going to get mine in September. I'm going to get that fifth generation.
I think they'll be out in time for the holiday buying season.
Yeah, and you would expect that to be like late September, early October.
Right.
Can't miss that. Yeah, I'm guessing early October.
At the latest.
Yes. But I think that's they're going to have an October, early October event, just like they had an early September event. And I would fully expect them to announce either shipping today or shipping next week when they have that event.
I'm guessing that when they do the event, they'll say shipping next week so they can do the pre-sales and then have launch day sales.
So pre-orders today,
yeah, they'll start pre-orders on announce
day. Or pre-orders this weekend or whatever it happens to be.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, it looks like last year the iPad 4 and mini event along with the iMac and whatever else was on the 23rd of October. So that's actually a little later than we were thinking. Also, I'm really digging this graphic that Gizmodo put on their on their coverage page from last year. It's a very lovely GIF of Phil Schiller holding an iPad mini and is it's kind of jiggling around.
I don't go to Gizmodo.
Well, you should look at this image because it's delightful. I just sent you the link to it. It's jiggling around and
I won't click it.
And spinning.
I won't click it.
Jeff will click it.
And,
I clicked it.
Phil Schiller's green eyes glowing. It's delightful. Right? You like it, huh, Jeff? Good times.
It's creepy. His hand spins all the way around.
Well, that's how Phil's hand works. He's like an action figure. Yeah.
It's just okay, I'm closing the window now.
Yeah,
it's
I did enough. Too. So the via IHS iSupply, they're saying that based on what they've seen in their research, the Retina iPad mini display production levels will be set to match last year's model, which is good news because for months we've been thinking, oh, are they going to have the Retina? Are they? Yes, no, maybe they're going to have a non-Retina, which would be just...
We haven't been thinking that.
Bonkers. Well, not us, but other people. Cause it would be,
I've been thinking either they're going to have the Retina or they're not going to ship an iPad mini this year,
It would be total like banana cakes if they did that.
So they're going to have them. They're going to ship them.
It's going to be good.
There might not be a ton available. It'll be a hot holiday item, which will only generate more buzz and let them sell more.
Certainly.
Right.
Yeah, I think it will.
And Apple will make more money.
Money. So, yes. Apple unexpectedly ceded iOS 7 Beta 6 to developers, I believe, last Thursday. So, 1 week ago at...
Unexpectedly? Like, they accidentally sent it out early?
Yeah, they're like, oh my God, where'd that go? Oh crap, it's on the site.
Oh, you press the giant button. Oops. No, well, we typically see these releases.
You mean it came out earlier than expected, right?
Came out earlier than expected, yes. Yeah. That's what I said, unexpectedly. It was not expected.
The way it sounded was like, whoops. Whoops, we sent that out.
Okay, yeah. Teehee. So, Thursday at a weird time. So typically they do it on a Monday at 10 a.m., Pacific time. They did it at 5:20, 5-ish p.m. Pacific on a Thursday, which was interesting. It was also a very small update. It was 13.5 megabytes. The Delta version was 13.5 megabytes. So,
and then just for fun, someone this week decided to mess with all of us and pretend like iOS beta 7 was going to come out.
Yeah, I think it was like Boy Genius Tuesday. Report. They're like, hey, it's going to be out on Monday. Her, no, it's not.
And it wasn't.
Whoops. Huh. Whoopsies.
I think it was a giant, like,
a joke. Just,
hey, let's watch all these people click refresh
trip
on their
themselves. Yes. I was involved in that. Sorry.
Like all
I
day
made
long.
Them some money. I contributed like 30 cents worth of page views. Oh, well.
Yeah. And now you have carpal tunnel syndrome in your refresh button finger.
Yeah, I've been had that, though.
You just look at the gray screen. Oh, not there. iOS 7 up to date.
You're implying that I have iOS 7 on one of my devices. And I do not, sir. I couldn't talk about it if I did.
Well, maybe you have access to a friend's device.
Yeah, that's true. I do.
Well, I'm assuming the screen would look exactly the same as the iOS 6 one.
Me too. I have no knowledge of what that screen
looks like. A gray
screen
that says iOS 6 up to date.
Yes.
Update not available.
Yep. Whatever it says there.
Something like that.
You have no updates, dummy. So, Apple...
Boy Genius said there was one.
I know. I guess they don't have real rumors anymore on Boy Genius Report. Anyway.
Kids.
So today, Apple announced that it acquired Embark. It's a... I hadn't heard about it before today, but it's a company focused on apps for navigating mass transit, which I believe is their third acquisition along those lines, which is very nice because, man, if Google Maps didn't have those awesome transit directions, I would use Apple Maps almost all the time.
You use public transportation a lot?
When I'm in Chicago, yeah.
Cool.
Yep. Although I did use the biking directions from Google recently. That was very nice, very enjoyable. Which I assume it's the same as walking directions, wouldn't you think so?
Not necessarily, because
there could be bike routes.
Yeah, there could be separate bike trail things.
Yeah, that's true.
Do we know how much this company got bought for?
I didn't see a number. Money.
Because I'm looking at these four guys going, oh, man.
Why is that?
Well, I went to the Embark homepage. There's like four guys on here. There's like the CEO, the designer, the programmer, and then the funding guy.
Oh, well.
They all just got really rich.
Yeah, that's a pretty safe bet.
Mm-hmm. So hopefully that'll be included in some future releases because that would be...
Well, so is this... So this is the third specifically related to transit? Mm-hmm. Stuff or just the third
transit.
Most recent mapping acquisition?
I believe thing. It was transit.
Specifically.
Hop transit. Stop and Locationary. Maybe Locationary didn't have anything to do with it.
Locationary was more, weren't they more the like business, local business kind of stuff?
Yeah, that's
yes,
true.
Yes.
Okay, so Hop Stop was the.
Hop Stop definitely yeah. Crap.
So
I can't make words.
We're going out on a limb and saying Apple's working on bringing transit directions back to Apple Maps.
Would that even be going out on a limb to say?
That was the joke.
It's a very short limb.
A very short, strong limb that won't snap.
Exactly.
They need to get their traffic stuff next. I mean, now that they blew the Waze thing, in my opinion. And Google Maps have supposedly just got, on iOS, just got updated with the Waze alerts now. And looks awesome.
Yeah, they did indeed.
Yeah, that's very cool.
I haven't had any experience with that. I use Waze, but I didn't... did you have to get an update?
Well, there's Waze in iOS maps, but it sucks.
No, I understand that. It's not... are you talking...
I've never used the Waze app, and I probably should, because a bunch of people have told me it's really awesome. And I'm like, well, I have Waze in iOS. Why is Waze in iOS so pathetic compared to the actual native app?
Are you talking... Waze is not actually in Apple Maps. You're referring to...
Well, Waze technology is. Yes, it is.
It is?
Yes. Yes.
Jeff, are you sure? Can you confirm this?
I'll show you where to. You can go confirm it for yourself.
Yeah. Okay. If you look at the... there's the little page curl thing that you can do where you see all the credits.
Scroll. Yes, I'm looking through.
You'll see it in there.
Are you sure? I don't see it. I hear a dog.
Yeah, that's mine. I don't know what it's doing.
Being a dog.
Ignore it.
It's being a dog. Oh, yeah. Map data for Israel from Waze.
Oh, only in Israel. I was confused. That's why.
It's map data. It's map data for Israel. So it's just map data. It's not like, hey, there's a cop, because Apple totally would never put that in there. And I'm guessing that Google will never put that in there either. That's not going to happen. Law enforcement does not like that. Right, Jeff?
Well, it's not just cops, though. It's like real-time traffic incidents.
Okay. Yeah, there is that.
Traffic rerouting. Hey, there's a pothole over here. You might not want to go over this way.
That is totally dope, and I like that stuff. But supposedly Apple has that stuff built in. They have their own proprietary thing, so whoever...
And it sucks. So what I'm saying, well, they blew not buying Waze. They should have bought that company and integrated that technology. They should not have let Google have it.
I agree. Yeah, Google having it...
However they blew that... Those talks, they messed up that one. And now they need to make up for it. They need to find some other company that's doing something just as cool.
Mm-hmm. Which they won't. Waze is super awesome. You should totally use Waze, because it's only ever rerouted me one time around something. And that was cool. I really enjoyed it. But I love the fact that I can not only report stuff, but I also get the reports from the other drivers. It's very nice that I can see, hey, there's a vehicle stopped on the road. There's weird stuff, especially the police thing. I really enjoy that. So.
Awesome. I'm writing the mute button because it's noisy here for some reason right now.
That's fine. So I wish I had a mute button. Can you send me a mute button?
I use the one in Skype.
Yeah, I'll draw you one right now, Michael. Hold on.
Can you make it digital so it works with Skype?
Yeah.
Now, see, the thing about it, the mute button on my end wouldn't work in Skype because I'm piping it right into my computer.
George Starcher wrote a really cool script. If you have an old Griffin, what's that thing called? Remember that thing, Jeff? The big metal button?
The knob.
Why am I blinking?
I have one of those
thing now.
It had the blue glowing ring around it. And
yeah, he wrote a thing to make that into a. There, something's being destroyed in my house right now.
Probably a couch or a little person.
Excuse me. I'm gonna have to step away. But yeah, that button thing. George Starcher wrote a script for that where you can use that as a mute button if you have one of those.
Cool.
So
yeah, I do have one
I'll
of those.
Be right back.
I have one of those things in a bin, and I think it keeps coming apart. And I could never come up with a use for a giant knob, even though I love the idea of having a giant knob to plug into my computer.
You know, I never had one, and I always thought I need to get this so I can do stuff. And I still don't have one.
Yeah, you can have mine because it doesn't do anything.
Well, and as you can see, I've been really adamant about getting one, because how many years has that thing been out and I still don't have one?
Yeah, you can probably find it on eBay for 50 cents.
Do we remember the name of it?
Find it. We should have Googled
Let's
this.
Move on. Do the show and I'll find it and we'll throw it in.
Griffin Knob. It is called the PowerMate.
PowerMate. There you go.
PowerMate.
A completely nonsensical name. Yeah, so do I. So, the last thing I have on my list, and you guys can bring up anything else that you want, but the last thing on my list was, oh no, I have two things. YouTube was updated. The YouTube app for iOS. I don't like it. I like the new icon. It's nice, but I don't know about you guys, but it seems completely dumb that there's no way to go back. So you click on a video and you're looking at a video. And then you want to hit the little back button to go to the list of search results or all the suggestions or what have you. Except there's no more back button. There's no more toolbar or anything. You can't quickly search. All you can do is this funky, goofy little feature that lets you push the... I'm sorry. I'm looking at videos. But it lets you push the video out of the way and it'll continue playing. And if you actually want to close the video, you then after that you have to swipe over to the left. So you have to do two swipey gestures
to make the video go away.
To make the video go away, yeah. And I mean, I like that you have the option of pulling it down and having whatever you're watching continue to play on as you're looking through the rest of the results. That's cool. And that would be a nice little extra feature to have when you're doing that sort of browsing. But for the most part, I would like that back button, and it's totally irritating. Man, I just wish that Jasmine didn't like totally get rebuked by YouTube for having the cool features that it had.
What happened to them? So that was a cool app. Is it messed up now?
Yeah, so Jasmine originally let you play YouTube videos in the background, which was mm-hmm. awesome. And it also had customizable skip forward and back controls. So you could skip forward or back 10 seconds, 20 seconds kind of thing. And I think there might have been one or two other things that YouTube was like, hey, you can't do that. Or I think there was they require some kind of extra little buffer of time before a video plays. It's things that just made Jasmine totally not worth using.
Luckily, I don't use YouTube that much. That's something all the kids use, the YouTubes. They watch their stuff over there.
There's a lot of cool stuff on here. You can like learn how to replace the spark plugs in your Jetta on this thing.
You can see cats do ninja stuff.
Oh, there are so many cats.
Isn't there that guy?
Yes, there's that guy.
Steve Sutton.
That guy on there.
You're talking about Steve Sutton? The guy who makes iced tea?
Fred. Isn't Fred on there?
I don't know who that is. But yes, okay.
He got some Hollywood movies and stuff. You know,
I don't know who Fred. You're talking about. But in addition to...
The kiddies watch it.
The kiddies? Oh, yeah, not the cats. The kiddies. The kids. Soulja Boy's on there. I know that. I know Soulja Boy. All right, I gotta stop.
Stick figure dudes doing ninja stuff.
Yep.
Oh, yes. Ninja stick figure dudes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so moving on.
That's
Yelp.
Just brilliant.
Yelp was updated as well. And I guess this must be the complaint version section of the show, because I'm not sure how I feel.
Don't like Yelp either? What happened to that?
I love Yelp. Yelp is awesome. And initially when I started using Yelp and I went to leave a review for something, it said, hey, you can save your review for later and you can post it on your computer, but you can't post the actual like full review from your phone. You have to wait to get to your computer. And
well, that's I stupid. Totally, if you can enter your review.
This was old. This was old. Yeah, it was messed up.
But the thing about it was, I completely understood why they did it that way. Because
no, that's stupid. It's just stupid. If you can create the review on your iPhone and you have an internet connection through Yelp.
Can I say why, though? You probably know why. But the reason they stated, and it makes sense to me, is... because they don't want short, dumb little reviews from a smartphone. They want you to actually flesh out a real-ish review with a real keyboard kind of thing. Now, on the flip side of that, there's, I'm in this restaurant right now, and I'm getting awesome service or crappy service. I want to write about it right this moment. And that's why they have the ability, that had the ability to draft it there, I would imagine. So what they've done with their new update is add the ability to fully write a review on your phone, be it 5 characters or 1,000, and submit it there.
See, that's smart, because what you could do before was everything except hit send. And mm-hmm. So what you would do is compose your short little review on your iPhone. When you get home, if you remember, you'll send the same short little review that you wrote. You're not going to change it.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know that. I mean, I say that I liked the idea of...
Sorry about that.
That's fine. I liked the idea, what they were doing with that. At the same time, I wrote 0 Yelp reviews because of it. And I imagine that's why they made this change.
I'm laughing now, because between Jeff's sneeze and my stupid dog, this has been our most, you know, professionally produced episode to date, I'm sure.
I'm
oh, it's fine. You should listen to some of those early shows.
I think I bounced my head off the microphone once already.
Yep. I can open the window if you want. Or get the cat in here. Yeah, so that's...
Yeah, get the cat in there.
That's what I'm saying. Anything else you guys want to talk about?
I was just going to comment So I had not opened either YouTube or Yelp since they were updated, and I just opened them now. Is a new thing, and I don't know that this is a good thing, but apparently a new thing. Each one of these apps, when I first opened them up, had a splash screen explaining the new features and how the new features worked. Is this going to be the new trend where it's like we're going to change the app so much that you're not going to know how to use it, and we need to take a couple moments of your time when you launch the app now to explain why you're going to be totally confused?
That's certainly
and not understand how our interface works.
That's certainly the case with the YouTube app. I wouldn't say so much with Yelp. I think it's just an announcement of saying, hey, you got that send button now.
Yeah, but I mean, there was a little image of it. And it's like, here's how you use it.
Well, you got
it. I mean, I guess it's helpful in some ways, but it's just interesting. I wonder if more and more apps are going to adopt this sort of model. I've seen it more and more. I've seen it in websites, too.
Yeah, I like
it. And I don't know how I feel about it. You know, should it be the kind of thing where should you have gone to the drawing board and figured out how you don't have to explain this to people? Or is it better just to explain it to people so that people don't fall into the trap, which I'm totally guilty of? I have a ton of apps where it's like 2 years later, you find this killer feature that was in there from the beginning. You're like, oh, maybe I should have read through the manual, or maybe I should have paid attention to that splash screen because this is a cool feature.
Yeah, that's how I feel. I can't remember what I encountered this with recently, but I've encountered that from time to time where like, wait a minute, you can do that with that app? That's crazy. And everybody's like, yeah, what's wrong with you?
Exactly. So maybe this is better. Maybe they just, you know, give us a couple screens. Hey, look, here's how you do this. Oh, okay. Now I'm aware.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just interesting. I noticed both those apps had that in there.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Good times.
I can't think of anything else. I think we hit all the high points.
You know, speaking of new things in apps and stuff, I should actually talk about what I've been doing with Appler, what's been up with Appler. And good fun news is the mobile site that I've been churning away on forever is now ready for, I would say, a preview. It's a preview beta, so it's not fully launched into the main site because there are some bugs still.
Because Adam hasn't done his piece.
Yeah, I mean, yes, but not entirely. We're still waiting on something from Adam in the interim.
We need help.
Yeah, we do need some help. Yeah, if you have any, if you can do PHP or JavaScript or HTML or any of that stuff, hit me up, michael@getappler.com, email me. We'll work something out.
And it's helping a good way. We need to tweak some things and we could use some extra.
Well, it's more than just working on the mobile site. There's a lot of long-term stuff that I want to work on too, and I need help with that. So
yeah, so if you're interested and you have skills, just let us know. Say, hey, I might want to help out.
So,
but it does look nice.
Thank you. So the mobile site, to get to it, and again, I stress that this is a preview sort of thing. It's, I would say, 90-95% functional, but there are bugs, and that's why I want a couple of you people on who like listen to the show and understand what I've been going through.
It's one of the bugs when you go to the homepage, it's always just blank.
That's not a bug, it's a feature.
Oh, okay.
No, it's...
Then it's working perfectly.
It's Michael hasn't gotten around to reworking the layout of the homepage where it says all the fun features about Appler, but that it's not a functional issue at all. But, so you go to DEV, as in dev, for developer, so dev.getappler.com on your iPhone or your iPod Touch or your iPad, and you will be presented with the mobile site, and then you can click the menu and log in and play around or sign up if you haven't already done that. So it should be, like I said, 90% functional, and play around, see what's in there. Let me know. I'm looking for feedback with this right now. That's why it's on the developer's version of the site, but it has all of your data that you've been working with. It's hooked up to the same database. So if you rated a bunch of apps, they're in there. And if you rate apps in the mobile version, they will appear all over the place. So you're not going to be duplicating data or anything like that. So it's just the new interface, and it's 1,000% more useful on an iPhone. I would say that Appler didn't work on an iPhone before.
It worked fine. It just wasn't optimized. And Michael has done a really nice job, guys, of working really hard to optimize this thing for your mobile device, specifically the iPhone. It does look really great on the iPhone. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of nice features in here that make it really navigable and usable much more usable on the iPhone. You don't have to do the pinch to zoom. You don't have to zoom in and out anymore.
Yeah,
the old site worked. I mean, you just had to do all the zooming stuff to kind of see things because things got tiny. But
right, and it also works
looks great on your iPhone, iPad.
And it works great on the iPad too. And you can, if you're on the iPad and you want to switch to the desktop site, at the bottom there's a little switch to desktop version, or just don't go to the dev version right now to do that. But and if you ever get emails, like, you know, the email says that, hey, you got some new apps, you want to rate them, those emails, when you click them, they won't have the dev prefix on there, but you click that email and then you just add dev dot to the getappler.com part and you'll be taken to the same spot on the mobile site. So then you can, you know, if you're hanging out in bed in the morning and you want to rate some apps, you can do it that way too. So check it out. Send feedback. It's all greatly appreciated. There's a send feedback button in the menu. So check that out and tell your friends. And then we have to talk about our iDevice picks. So Jeff, what's your pick this week?
I'm going games this week. And I'm going with Plants vs. Zombies 2.
All right.
I know there's a lot of people that are like, they turned it into a pay-to-play, blah, blah, blah. I don't like it. I'm not having that issue with it. I found everything I need to play the game and enjoy it is there without me having to do in-app purchases. And it's a lot of fun. I'm enjoying the new levels, and so go download it. It's free.
Cool. That works. Adam, what is your pick?
Mine is a little more practical, and it is an accessory, and it is a lightning cable. And the reason I'm picking a lightning cable is because I realized I had like two lightning cables, and I was constantly like misplacing them, having to hunt them down. I got a million 30-pin cables, not enough lightning cables, and I'm like, I should buy some more lightning cables. But I want to save a little bit of money, and I know that we've had this issue with the, you know, the USB charger take-back program and make sure you get official Apple stuff, which is a mantra I usually live by. But Apple has now, you know, got its made for iPhone program rolled out pretty good on the lightning connectors, and there's a couple other suppliers. So I went to my favorite place to check it out, Monoprice.
Yep.
And so Monoprice has lightning cables. I think they have short ones, like 4-inch ones if you want a little short one, all the way up to 3-foot and 6-foot cables. The 3-foots, I think, are about $11.97, and I think it's a dollar more for the 6-foot cable. And so I saw them there. I had also seen them over on Amazon. Amazon has their Amazon Basics cables, and I think they're about a dollar more, roughly, than Monoprice, but I have Amazon Prime, so I get free shipping with Amazon. And so between the shipping at Monoprice and the non-shipping, if you're on Amazon Prime at Amazon, I think the price works out to be about the same. So about $14 a cable with shipping. And so I went ahead and I thought, well, let me try the Amazon ones because I'm familiar with Monoprice cables. And so the Amazon ones came, and they're really nice. They're black, so if you prefer white, you'd probably have to go with Mono. I don't think I saw white ones on Amazon. They might have white ones. I didn't look that deeply. But I wanted black ones because I have the black iPhone and it looks nice with that. So I picked them up. About my only complaint, it's got a nice weight to it. It feels a little bit stiffer than the Apple ones, maybe a little bit thicker, which I actually kind of like. And the connector on the lightning side, the sort of plastic around it, is a little bit larger than you get with the Apple one, but not huge. So I would imagine with some cases, depending upon how it's designed, you might have a problem with the Amazon ones. If you think that's going to be an issue for you, the ones from Monoprice, I haven't bought them, but they look almost identical in the pictures to the Apple ones in terms of the size around that connector, because Apple has it pretty small. But I mean, it's a lightning cable. There's not much. I mean, it works. It's made for iPhone certified, so you know it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
And, you know, Amazon and Monoprice, I trust. So on Amazon, you can find like $1.99 lightning cables. I would not trust those people.
Do not trust
those. Yeah, that's not a good idea. Don't buy a $1.99 lightning cable.
Yeah, those, I want to say that I was playing around with my buddy's iPod Touch, and I'm not sure if it, has anything to do with the fact that iOS 7 is on it, but I plugged it into my iPhone dock iPhone 5 Lightning dock that I got from cell phone shop. Dude, that it goes blink, 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 blink.
Yeah, that's not a good sign.
Yeah, it's not.
Get your made for iPhone. And not like the made for iPhone can be certifications can't be faked. I mean, it's just a logo you could put on your website. So I don't necessarily even trust that. I trust more that plus the source. I mean, if you're getting your cable from Belkin or Monoprice or Amazon or, you know, some of these places, and they say it's made for iPhone certified or made for iOS certified, I would trust them.
I would say the MFI thing.
You know, but if it sounds too good to be true, you know, if they can charge $12, $13, but someone else is trying to charge you $299,
there's probably
red flags should be going up. Yeah, yeah. So anyway, they're great cables. In, you know, you save a couple bucks. Apples are $19, so here you're going to save, you know what, $5-6. And I bought a bunch of extra cables, and now I don't have problems. I just have them in, you know, all the places where I'm going to need a cable: my car, my office, my bedroom. So I have one for each place, and I can just plug away when I need to charge up.
Cool.
So Amazon Basics cables is my recommendation, but I have no qualms recommending Monoprice too. I'm sure they're just as great.
Yep, love the Monoprice stuff. So my pick this week is To Do Movies. It's one word: TODOMOVIES. And this is one that I debated getting for a while. I saw it pop up on Appler quite a few times. And once I sort of got back into the swing of watching movies at the theaters, this demand really came up for me. And that is, when I'm sitting down to see a movie at the theater, you get all the trailers. And I hate it, but I also love it, because then I actually get to see all the trailers for the movies that I might be interested in. And a lot of times I say, I want to see that. And I just never had a real thing to capture that stuff. So that's what To Do Movies does for you. And so whenever you're in the theater, or whenever someone even just says, hey, you should check out CHUD, you know, Cannibalistic Humanoid Underground Dwellers. You should watch that.
Good times.
Yeah, you can add that to your to-do list or to-watch list. So it doesn't have to be the new Sandra Bullock crazy space flip movie. It can be anything.
What movie is that?
Gravity.
Gravity. Yeah, it looks like a full panic attack, and I'm totally going to watch it and like maybe bring a Zanny or something.
Just, yeah.
Because you should watch the trailer. It's a little bit stressful.
It's intense.
Is it coming to theaters movie?
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah.
With Sandra Bullock in it?
Sandra Bullock
and George Clooney. I just forgot the actor that's in it.
Where did she
George
pop
Clooney,
up from?
George Clooney.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So and they're like outside the International Space Station.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think I saw the trailer for that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen the trailer for that.
Yeah. So this app has a huge database of movies, like I said, everything from CHUD to the most recent movies, and you can check out trailers for those movies. You can very easily add them to your to-do list. And the biggest, best feature in here, other than the fact that the interface is beautiful, is that it actually allows you to have reminders. So when you add a movie to your list of to watch, it says, hey, do you want us to remind you when this movie comes out in the theaters? And you say, yes, please tell me a day before or that day at a certain time, and it will let you know. So then you can remember to go and actually watch Thor: The Dark World or something like that. Or Ender's Game. Is Ender's Game going to be good?
It has
Aren't
the
we
potential
supposed to boycott
good.
It?
Are we?
Well, we're supposed to, no one's supposed to like,
Orson Scott Card.
Yeah. Huh. And I mean, he's written some really good stuff, and
I'm going to totally go
nuts.
See it.
I'll end up going to see it.
I'm excited to see Captain Phillips. You guys seen the trailer for that? Tom Hanks, where he's a captain on some.
Oh, yes. Yes. It's based on a true story.
Yeah. And pirates come. Oh, it looks awesome. See, now I get to remember to see all these cool movies, and I'm totally going to see The World's End on Friday.
Oh, that's going to be a good movie.
It looks really good.
I love Simon Pegg.
That's got to be a fantastic movie.
It's hilarious.
Elysium was kind of meh. Did you guys see it yet?
No.
No.
My last movie was Jobs.
How was that?
Did we not talk about that on here?
We haven't talked about Jobs, no. I haven't seen it. I wasn't planning on seeing it.
I went in not expecting a whole lot. I kind of knew that it wasn't going to be super accurate, you know, and I was going in just for kind of entertainment value. Frankly, I enjoyed it, but enjoyed it in the kind of way where, like, this could have been a made-for-USA kind of movie, but that's pretty much what I expected from it. So, you know, I wasn't expecting any huge revelations. I mean, we know the story and right. things like that. My only complaint was I think that they tried to cover too much of the lore and sort of how they did it. They had these two... I give a full review on the MacCast if people want to go listen to it. But the summation of it was is there were kind of two storytelling techniques going on. There was a main story that was about Steve Jobs and the business, so building up Apple Computer to the point where he brought in Scully, and then Apple Computer was, you know, the way it was played out is taken away from Steve Jobs, and we can talk about how you feel about that. I mean, pretty much he was kind of forced out and you know, they relegated him to force him to leave. And then his return coming back to Apple. So that was kind of the main story thread. But interwoven with that were all these little, I call them almost vignettes or little skits, where they were these time-compressed pieces to tell the different stories that were happening around the time point of that main timeline. So you had this main story thread going along, and then you had all these little pieces that were threaded together by that story that were, oh, here's the thing where with Chris Ann and Lisa, you know, that's that story. Oh, and here's the story of his time at Atari and how he screwed Steve Wozniak out of the money for Breakout.
Oh, interesting.
And here's the story of, you know, so it was all those little, here's the Apple, what was the expo that they went to, the where they announced the Apple.
The Apple One.
Two.
Or Apple Two.
Yeah. Apple Two.
The Apple Two. West Coast Computer Fair.
Yes.
Here's that story. Here's the Bite Shop story. Here's the, you know, so each one of those stories is threaded throughout this main thread of things. And I think a lot of those probably could have been left out, but I think they're just in there for the fanboys, you know, for the people who, oh, we gotta hear that story. Or the story about, you know, how Steve Jobs fired the guy over the fonts or, you know, whatever. And I don't even think that's a real story, but the point of that story is, oh, here's Steve Jobs being a tyrant at Apple and just, you know, firing somebody just because he can. That sort of thing. So, and then there's the debate over the portrayal of the characters. But again, I didn't get too caught up in that because I don't know that I care that much, you know.
Well, yeah. It's not a documentary. It's
you know,
a drama.
What Raskin specifically said when Steve walked into to the Macintosh team, or how, you know, how people felt. I mean, I care, but again, in the context of this movie, it's something there for entertainment value, and it's based on some real events that happened. But I didn't go in thinking, well, this is going to be a documentary retelling of what happened.
So would you say that it's worth $5 to see?
I think it's definitely worth $5 to see if you're a huge Apple fan and you don't take the lore, the history too seriously. Hmm. If you're going to be nitpicking over, you know, the accuracy of everything, then you probably don't want to see it. You know, I liked it. I enjoyed it. And it's not fair to do a comparison because the two movies aren't the same, but I enjoyed it in the same way that I enjoyed Pirates of the Silicon Valley.
And that was my second question was, did you like, was it better or worse than Pirates?
I would say it's about the same.
Oh,
maybe,
really?
I think I probably like Pirates of Silicon Valley a little bit better because that does sort of have just one sort of storyline that it's telling. I think what lost me in this movie, and I think will lose a lot of people, especially people who aren't big Apple fans, is that sort of jumping around that it does. It jumps over. So for all that stuff, it also jumps over huge pieces of history. I mean, it doesn't even cover... It happens during the time period when Jobs is away at Next and Pixar. You don't see anything about Next and Pixar.
Oh, wow.
They just sort of jump over that piece.
Which is weird, because if it's a movie about Steve Jobs,
yeah,
then why would you skip over those parts? Because, you know, those are really important.
Well, because yeah. You don't have time because you're telling all these other vignettes. And that's why I'm saying some of these vignettes, I think, could have been left out. Like, we don't need to know certain bits of these stories. They didn't promote the other storyline. So that's what I'm saying. It was almost like there were two stories happening.
And they couldn't tell, or they couldn't figure out which one they really wanted to run with.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so Pirates of Silicon Valley, it was pretty clear what the story was.
Yeah. And there is this main story in here about, again, Steve Jobs building up Apple to the point where it's taken away from him, and then his sort of rise back into Apple, or his, you know, journey back into Apple. And that was an interesting story, and I just would have wished they would have focused more on that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally makes sense.
Yeah, certainly so, it would make sense.
But it's fun. I would go on a you know, go to the early cheap show on a Sunday, and you'll have a good time. Again, if you don't take it too seriously. And there's some great, the supporting cast was excellent.
Yeah.
Was it Dermot Mulholney? Is that how you say his name?
Is that the Woz character?
No. That's Josh Gad. And he did okay. There was not enough Woz in there. And that was my other complaint. You've pretty much seen every major Woz scene in the stuff that's been released, save for one good scene.
The Atari one, probably.
No, I think that released out a little bit of it, didn't it?
I don't know.
Oh, so maybe two. There might be two Woz scenes you haven't seen. So that was unfortunate, because I think he did a pretty good job, although he wasn't trying to impersonate Woz. Another complaint that I think people are probably pretty accurate with is, I think Ashton Kutcher tried too hard to imitate Steve Jobs, and it comes off good at points, and it comes off really bad at other points. There's a lot of debate over his walk, and I went back afterwards and after seeing the movie and replayed back some videos of Steve, and I think he got the walk dead on. Some people are saying that it looks awkward and weird, but if you go back and look at videos of Steve actually walking, that's what it looked like, at least later in life. I don't know if he had that same gait earlier.
You know, if people are focusing on,
I don't even know.
Something's wrong with the movie.
Well, I think it's because Kutcher made a specific point of bringing that up in an interview, and so only because of that, I sort of looked at it and went, "Wow, that actually is pretty good." And I had to go back, like I said, and watch some videos, because it when I first saw him doing it, I'm like, "That looks almost like over the top." But then I went back and watched some videos, and it's like, "No, that's pretty much how the guy sauntered around." So. It's interesting. No, but it was the guy who played Markla, I think, did an excellent job. And he was in the movie almost as much as Kutcher was. I mean, it was really a story about Steve Jobs and Markla, and their relationship was almost the primary story. But I think that's because it's about the business of Apple, and he was the business guy. You know, he was the business side of Steve's vision. In a lot of ways. So
sorry, I was watching a really like creepy video of some dude, probably an employee, walking out of Apple right behind Steve Jobs. Like, Steve Jobs captured walking out of Apple HQ.
Yeah, that's the walk. Yeah.
Oh boy, people. Anyway, I might check it. Yep. Did you go with your wife?
Dermot Mulroney. I couldn't remember. I kept wanting to say Mulholney, but it's Dermot Mulroney is the guy. I think did an excellent job. And Matthew Modine did actually a pretty good job too as Scully.
Did your wife like it?
She didn't go.
Oh, she was like, I'm not going to that.
So she liked it just fine.
She enjoyed the fact that she wasn't
She would
dragged.
Not like it on video. She would not like I said, this is totally for fans. I mean, if you're a fan, you're going to enjoy it. If you're going to get really caught up in like the specifics and feel like you got cheated out of your $13 by going in to see it in the theater, wait for it to come out on streaming. But I guess it's not going to come out on streaming till like August 2014. They already announced when it's going to hit Netflix.
That's surprising. It's going to be that long.
Yeah. We'll see if they change that.
My guess is that it's going to be gone from the box office in a couple of weeks.
Exactly. Yeah. You're going to have to see it quick. Otherwise, you have to buy it on iTunes, I guess. I don't know. I don't think I'd buy it.
No, I'm not going to buy it.
I have Pirates of Silicon Valley. I really enjoy that.
I do, too.
I really enjoyed Pirates of Silicon Valley. I thought it was a fun movie.
Mm-hmm. So I'll be curious. So you guys got to go. You actually, now you guys both owe the We Have Communicators audience to go see it and back up or... blow away my opinion of it.
Okay, I guess we do.
Right, well, my plan is to go see it at a theater called Cinnabar. Where
I already like the sound of that.
Yep. You should, because they bring you drinks to your seat, and you can order like a giant bowl of fresh-made popcorn and other stuff too. So what I'm going to do is have a couple drinks, go to the theater. I won't be driving. Don't worry, I'll have a designated driver. And I'm going to order a couple drinks while I'm watching the movie. And so I'll give you my perspective on someone that's looking through booze-colored glasses.
Jeff is going to really like the movie.
Oh, and I guess they really played up Rod Holt.
Who's that now?
Because I listened to an interview with Daniel Kottke and I think it was Bill Fernandez. And they were explaining how they have that scene. I think they've shown this scene. I don't think I'm giving any spoilers. Where Rod Holt drives up to the garage. He's like an engineering guy that they bring on for the Apple II to work on the power supply originally. And they have him riding up on this motorcycle. And he's like this big biker guy. And both those guys are like, I don't even think he ever really rode motorcycles. He had like a little dirt bike. But they totally turned him into this like biker character. So that's that's really inaccurate, but I don't know. I haven't dug into that story much deeper than other than those two guys saying, I don't think that happened. And they were at the garage, so I would think they would know.
Yeah, anyway. You would think they would know.
But he was a great character in the movie. I mean, it was really entertaining. So again, there's stuff in there that's in there for pure entertainment value, and I can accept that. You know, it's still got to entertain people.
All right, so my pick is to do movies.
Oh, yeah. Going back
to that.
Oh,
that's right.
You had a pick. The bonus pick, I forgot, since you're doing a movie thing.
And it's $1.99.
Star Trek Into Darkness is out on iTunes 3 weeks early.
Yeah, check it out. That's a good movie. I like that. So,
it's a really good movie.
So, ending up a movie talk with Michael, Jeff, and Adam. You can find the iPhone picks and show notes at wehavecommunicators.com. You can review the show in iTunes and tell a friend. That's also a good thing for us. And feedback at wehavecommunicators.com is how you get a hold of us. Send your audio comments or feedback or whatever you want to do from at feedback at wehavecommunicators.com. Advertising's handled by Backbeat Media, backbeatmedia.com. Jeff Gamet is at the Mac Observer, macobserver.com, at Jay Gamet on Twitter, and zazzle.com/Jay Gamet.
Oh, I have to do some pimping.
Okay, do it.
You remember how I spoke at Ignite Denver at the beginning of the year?
Yes. Yeah, nice, yes.
That was speaking, awesome.
I am speaking again.
Yeah. So your talk was accepted. It had enough votes.
Yes.
Excellent. I voted for it.
Oh, you voted for me. Thank you. You rock. September 18th. So if you're in Denver on September 18th, please come to Ignite Denver and see me speak.
And if you're not, go watch the videos up from your last talk, right?
Yes. So if you go to ignitedenver.org, you can get to the videos from the previous events. If you search on my last name, it's spelled wrong.
Yeah. Great.
There's like a tilde on the E or the T, like Gamay.
Just search.
Well, actually, the E's
not there. Perfume is my kryptonite on Google. It'll probably come up, right?
Yeah.
That was the talk?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
And this talk is called Everything I Learned in Life, or Everything I Need to Know in Life, I Learned by Watching Muggles and Starbucks.
Nice.
So come see me.
Cool. I got to check out this video.
Are we done?
Adam Christensen's at the MacCast, MacCast.com, and at MacCast on Twitter.
MacCast on GitAppler?
Yep. Jeff Gamet's, I think, /Jeff, right?
I'm just Jeff, yeah.
Jeff.
Yeah. Member.matcast.com.
Yep.
And I'm at Michael Johnston on Twitter. I'm just Michael on Appler. And yeah, check it out. We'll see you next time on We Have Communicators.
Internet. How are we going to communicate this? The stylus. We don't want to carry around a mouse, right? So what are we going to do? So what are we going to do? Oh, a stylus, right? We're going to use a stylus. No. Yuck. No. Yuck. Yuck. No.